Mr. Biddle, you've got a huge story to tell. I'd like you to put your career in a nutshell first, and then I want to ask you about how you got the nickname, the man who beat the man who beat the man.
Okay. I am the youngest player. I'm also the president of Yesterday's Negro League Baseball Players Foundation. I live in Milwaukee. I've written a book called Secrets of the Negro Baseball League. This book, we are trying to get it into all the school systems because this information should be handed down to all our young people because our history has been destroyed, misquoted, swept under the rug, and a lot of other things. Being a young player in the league, I felt that the information that was passed on to me as I was riding that bus with these old living legends should be shared with our young people because the historians and the writers, and I got nothing against their writers. I'm only saying that real truth have not been told.
What part of the history are you talking about in particular that we have lost?
Okay. From 1920 to 1949, all the history of the Negro League was recorded by three black newspapers, the Pittsburgh Courier, the Chicago Defender, and the Memphis Courier. These were the three black newspapers that followed every game the Negro League played from 1920 to 1949. After 1949, Jackie Robinson had opened the door, and there were a lot of black players now playing in the major league. So all of the media focus at that time turned to watch us play now in the major league. And what I'm telling you now, 10 years of our history was not recorded. From 1950 to 1960, you'll find very little written down about the Negro Baseball League.
I really want you to tell that one story about your own career and how you got the nickname of the man who beat the man who beat the man.
Yes. Well, that came, my second professional baseball game was played in Racine, Wisconsin. And I was pitching against a legendary pitcher named Gerald Lefty McGinnis. Gerald was an older player. He had been in the league a long time. He had been pitched against some of the great ball players of the Negro Baseball League. He was one of the very few pitchers to ever beat the man who was named Satchel Paige. So the night I won the game, I beat him 3-1 in Racine, Wisconsin. They nicknamed me as the man who beat the man who beat the man. That's how that happened.
And was it that night that your manager gave you the advice about telegraphing your pitch?
Right. Now, that's something else that was very important in my upbringing because I was never taught hitting techniques. A batter is trained to watch the pitch, the ball all the way from the pitcher's hand. I didn't know this. It didn't matter to me. I was felt as I was striking him out anyway. I was told by Lefty McGinnis, the guy I was pitching against. He said, hey kid. He said, you're telegraphing your pitch. And I looked at him and going to the dugout. And every inning, he would tell me that. And yet I was winning the game 3-1. So the owner of our team, the manager, W. Directive, I went to him and I said, what's wrong with this guy telling me I'm telegraphing my pitch? And that was when I learned about the history of the Negro League because he called me in my car and said, look, boy, these men have missed their calling. When they see a young pitcher that's got a chance to make it to the major leagues, they see him doing something wrong, they straighten him out. I said, well, what did he mean? I'm telegraphing my pitch. He said, a batter knows what you're going to throw before you throw it. I said, so they can't hit it. They know what I'm going to throw, they can't hit it. And he said, this is what the older guys do when they see a young player doing. He said, batter's trained to watch that pitch all the way from the pitcher's hand. The more time you have to reveal the ball, less time he will have to pick it up to hit it. You know, Lefty told me that. He showed me how to do it. And I didn't do it that night, but I do it. And I train young pitchers today. I use the same techniques that he showed me that night. That was very important in my my part in the Negro League, because that night I learned something. Well, I learned something every night, but that was the night I learned something about the pitching game.
Mr. Biddle, your career was cut short by a bad break of your leg.
Yes, yes.
You went back to school and you became a social worker?
Yes, 24 years.
And because of that career in social work, I expect it led to your calling today, and that is to find justice and remuneration for former Negro League baseball players.
Right, right. My job was passed on to me by Mr. Sherwood Brewer, who was one of the Negro League players played with and against them all in the Negro League. He was there when Jackie Robinson came into the league, and he moved over to second base so Jackie could play short. He made me promise him before he passed on that I would keep the legacy going and make sure that the true history is passed down to our young people. I have done that in one book. I'm in the process of writing another book. And this is what I do all over the country. I speak at colleges, universities, and high school, wherever my young people are, educating them about the true history that have been swept under the rug. 10 years of our history was not written down. And I have something else to say, important, very important. The word Negro League, it was never copyrighted. And since that, the Negro League died in 1960. Since then, our name, our likeness, have been taken advantage of by organizations all over the world, making millions of dollars off the name and likeness of Negro League. It does not represent one player. We played in the Negro Baseball League, but what I had to do in 1996, copyright the word yesterday's Negro League, which represents the players. So that's something a lot of the teachers don't even know. The word yesterday's Negro League represents the players that played in the Negro Baseball League.
And you're seeking and have succeeded to some extent in getting pensions.
For the last 22 years, I have been fighting the Major League to get pensions from these old living legends, who some of them would have been Hall of Famers had given the opportunity. I felt the Major League, to this day, have not given us a formal apology for what happened. But I approached them for benefits to help these living legends. I did get it for 27 players. But the Major League set the criteria so high to get it, most of the men didn't qualify. So we have approximately 53 players living today, most of them in their 80s and 90s. Most of them are living without medical and no kind of benefit. This is why the foundation was set up, not only to help get benefits, but to educate our young people about the true history of the Negro Baseball League.
Mr. Biddle, I thank you for being with me.
Thank you,